Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Well, good morning to you. It is a terrific Thursday. Fantabulous. July 9th, 2015. You've tuned into Couch Conversation. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody. Always available to you via our website, bakiministries.wix.com/baki. I'm your host, Rev J. I'm excited you tuned in. If you can't catch our website, definitely check us out on social media, Facebook, Google+, Instagram, Twitter, Vine. We are there covering the World Wide Web, reminding you that your life is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J. I'm excited you tuned in. It's going to be another terrific episode. In case you haven't noticed or been under a bush somewhere hiding, for the past couple of weeks, we have been focusing on the family. Why are we focusing on the family over the individual? Because we've done 300, yay, plus episodes pretty much focused on individual, making sure you know you have as many supports as possible for you. And now we're expanding our horizon, moving to the family, because if you want the community, nation, country, locality, principality to change, it's going to have to be some family changes that go on. If you want the kids to be better, if you want laws to be better, then the communities have to be better. And the communities can't be better until the families are better and the individuals are better. So we're trying to make sure you embrace this whole global reach with your life and you look at the bigger picture, because you have an important role to play in history. Like, you're not here by accident. During this season and this time, you are here on purpose, for a purpose, and a lot of it has to do with the people we are related to. I know sometimes it doesn't seem that way, and I know a lot of us have family issues, which is why today our episode is on family conflict, resolving family conflict, not just acknowledging the fact that there's a conflict, but looking at ways, by 8 steps, find some sort of resolution to keep the peace within our families. All right, okay, so I'm going to jump right in. Of course, I know something about family conflict. Why? Because I'm human. Gosh, not just because I work with children, I work with families, but because I'm human, I actually have a family. And we don't always see eye to eye. Okay, rarely do we see eye to eye because we are a bunch of strong-willed, emotional people and kind of emotionally driven and passionate about what we do. And so when we come together, we express our passion, and it's usually loudly. And if there's a difference of opinion, it can get quite loud. And some people can mistake that, you know, for arguing and heated. Why are y'all so this? It's not that we're always like that. It's just that we're passionate. We have a passion. Like, once you find a purpose or your purpose or a piece of your purpose in this gift called life, you should get fired up behind it, fired up and ready to go, like fired up and like, yes, I am so excited, I am gung-ho, this is what I do, this is my calling, this is my passion, and this is how I want to do it. And then you get around other people who have very similar passions, because it's so funny. My grandmother has nine grandkids, and 6 of us are in a health profession. 5 of us are life coaches. I just think that's amazingly funny. And the thing is, we're not like the close family that meets every Thanksgiving or holidays. We're in different states, different areas of the country, but we've pursued the same interests, helping others, being a help. And the 5 of us who are life coaches, it's not like we even, it's just funny how that all worked out, how we're in the same profession. We work with other people to improve the state of things in others' lives. And so when there are opportunities for us to get together, 2, 3, 4 of us, because getting all of us together, well, that seems like Mission Impossible, but that's a whole other issue. But when we do get together, the amount of passion that is in the room is very high. And, like, we like to joke, and we like to kind of pick, because we're family, and we don't get together that often, so that conflicts can arise. Imagine 2 people in the same industry or in similar industries working with similar clientele or similar people, just different places, and then you get them together like, this is the issue. And I remember growing up, my uncles would, they had very similar conversations. Now, one was an architect, one's a professor. And so, but when they got together, they're community-based. They're focused on the big picture. And so, like, oh, no, did you see what such and such did? No, when he makes laws and bylaws and blah, I'm just like, really? Is that important that we have to be this loud? Didn't understand it as a child, but now seeing it happen again with another generation, I'm like, oh, my gosh, that passion to be involved in the community, to make positive difference, still lives and resonates within us. So, anyways, so, yeah, that does lead to conflict. Because then when we're not in our passion, when we're dealing with, like, personal issues, like let's just say our core family, and then we may ask another one, like, what do you think about that? And then the other one has a very strong opinion. You're like, I didn't ask you to get overly involved in my situation. I just asked for your opinion, and then everyone's an expert on your stuff. Trust, I understand conflict. So today, 8 keys to resolving family conflict. Number first, wow. Number one, out the gate, be hard on the problem, not the person. We all have issues, and we can all take it. And that's why you're an alcoholic, and that's why you did this and that, and you can't tell me anything. Why? Why label people? Why be negative about the situation? Why involve stuff that has nothing to do with it? That is fighting so dirty, and it's unnecessary. I don't like it when your kids come over and jump on my furniture after I've already discussed it with them, and I'm coming to you saying, hey, can you also discuss it with them? Why does it have to be stuff from 32 years ago? Because we're family and we don't fight for it. Exactly. But now the first key to resolve this issue is let's address the problem. The problem is the children are not listening, and so therefore – one family member has taken, you know, the initiative to say, well, then they cannot come over or they can't go into the living room because they're constantly jumping on the furniture. Now, the other family member is all upset, thinking, oh, my gosh, your furniture is not all that. You are not all that. I remember when you didn't have any furniture. That's not even a point. Can we focus on the problem? Why are the kids not listening to this adult? I know you've instilled respect in your children. I'm just asking that you reinforce whatever I'm saying, one adult to another, one sibling to another, one cousin to another, one whatever, one spouse to another, I don't know. And so the problem is what? Not the fact that there's nice furniture in the living room. The problem is, can we make sure the children are being respectful? And if these are the things we're teaching our kids at home, these are the things they'll carry out with them. If these are the things we're teaching our children in the family, these are the things they'll carry with them in society. See what I'm saying? So we got to focus on the problem. Whatever the problem is, get the passion about the problem, not the person, not the people. Don't be like, that's why your kids are crazy, and that's why they're going to stay crazy. They're going to be alcoholics just like you. Mm-mm. Problem, not the people. Number two, understand that acknowledging and listening are not the same as saying, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard you. You said that my kids jump on your furniture. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yes, you use your reflective listening, which means you repeat it back what the other person said, and, yes, you acknowledge that they said it, but now let's focus. What can we do about this? Adult to adult, away from children, you and I are talking about this. How can we proactively and reactively deal with this situation together so that we are a united front against, you know, the problem, not the children, but the problem. Oh. So just because you're listening, you can say back what the other person said. Now it's time to like, okay, children, not jumping on furniture. I get that because you wouldn't want someone else's kids to come to your house with dirty shoes or with clean shoes on and jump on your furniture. That's not what the furniture is for. Now, if you go to a bounce house, a jump house, whatever it is, go for it. You know? Okay. So third step. Use I statements. So I'm like, I feel disrespected when I have to tell your children multiple times. Or I feel disrespected when I have to tell my nieces multiple times. I feel. So you're not saying your children are bad. You need to get better control of them. If they had their daddy in their life, it wouldn't even be like this. But we all know you can't keep them in. It doesn't have to go that far. It does not have to go that deep. I feel disrespected when your children just follow my rules in my house. Wow, we're getting somewhere. All right. Fourth key, give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe this person didn't know their children jump on your furniture. Maybe they were unaware that this is still a problem. Just give them the benefit of the doubt. Bite your tongue. Take a deep breath. Think before you respond. The problem is mutual. Because if children are doing adverse behavior outside of the home, you best believe that something else is going on inside of the home. So I understand that you give the benefit of the doubt. The parents stressed out that something else is going on. You're just asking for support in handling this situation. So if you want support, you kind of have to give support, because the things we cast out in life are the things that return back to us. Okay? Five, have the awkward conversation in real time. That means don't wait till 2 weeks later when you're at the ice cream parlor to bring up something that happened at your house or something that you want to deal with. When the auntie comes to pick up, or your cousin comes to pick up, or whoever's picking up the kids, kind of address it. Be like, hey, I want to talk to you like tomorrow after the kids go to sleep, or tomorrow after you get the kids off, okay? Or, you know what, oh, if you're dropping the kids off, can you give me a call when you have some time and it's nice and quiet? Cool. And they don't call you for no reasonable time. It's okay for you to give a nice follow-up reminder text or call, okay? But in real time, because if we're trying to remember incidents that happened 2 weeks ago, oftentimes stuff gets clouded by our emotions, and it gets a little more intense than it has to be, because you have been stewing in that situation for 2 weeks. And so, of course, your emotions, your blood pressure, all that is way higher than it needs to be. And the other person is probably clueless about what? Why are you so, quote-unquote, passionate, upset, irate, hard to deal with about this situation that happened 2 weeks ago? Why didn't you just tell me 2 weeks ago? Oh, so now my kids can't come over to your house. Oh, so that's what it is. You think you're better than everybody else. Okay, why don't you just tell me? You know, looking to avoid all of that extra stuff, because that only brings division, and we sure don't need any more of that. So handle it in a timely manner, real time. And, of course, have the conversation with the kids as well. Everyone should know rules, regulations. The stuff that you think is, quote-unquote, common sense, I hate that term, but common sense is not always common. You may have different rules at your house than your siblings, your cousins, your family members have. Just make sure that everyone is aware, like, hey, in our house, we don't do that. That's not acceptable. If you eat off a plate, you need to rinse that plate off before you put it in the dishwasher. Whatever the rules are, just gentle reminders usually will work. Usually we'll get everybody on the same team, okay? So number six, keep the conversation going. Life is a dialogue. So after you are having the conversation with the adult, you're going to have to do something called a recap, just to make sure all parties are on the same page and make sure we have a peaceful resolution, a peaceful solution, just peace about the situation. You may not agree. Your brother may think that his furniture is for jumping and lets his children jump all over everything. Recap. At your house, they're allowed to do that. Cool. Well, at my house, if you could remind them, you know, in the car, remember, we don't jump on Aunt Becky's furniture. Okay, remember, Aunt Becky's living room is still off limits because you guys couldn't handle it, you know, the last time you were here. Just gentle reminder. So keep the dialogue going with the kids, but also keep the dialogue going with the person. Like, hey, yes, I'm upset about X, Y, and Z, but that has nothing to do with the fact that we still have to go to the salon next week. I'll see you next Wednesday for our appointment. I'm still going to do your hair. I don't like you right now. I don't like your attitude, but come on over. Let me do your hair. Because what's important, at the end of the day, it's the relationship that's important. Most of the problems we have are never as important as the relationship we have. And if we can do things to maintain the relationship, to keep peace in the relationship, to be peaceful in the relationship, those are the things we need to do. So you need to send a text afterwards, be like, thank you for hearing me on the situation, or whatever the case would be, to keep open lines of communication, then that's what you need to do. You may have to bite your tongue and be the bigger person, or you might have to just step outside of your norm and do something different, because in order to get something different, what do you have to do? Do something different. All right. So, number seven. Remember, the eight keys to resolving family conflict, and this works with work conflicts as well. The relationship is just not as intense. Ask yourself, would I rather be happy or right? Oh my gosh. To use this one, I would say the first year of the marriage, no. But more so the second, third, and fourth year of the marriage. Oh my gosh, do I want to be happy? Do I want to be right? Some issues are just not worth beating to death. If you have to see this person on a consistent and regular basis and you are still holding grudges in 1842, guess what? You're not going to be happy. You may be right all day, every day, but you will not be happy. If you are so upset that the toothpaste has been squeezed out the middle as opposed to the end, it may be right in your mind because that's the way that you was raised, but do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? Does it even matter in the big picture of things? Can we just be happy that the people are using the toothpaste and that no one has funk breath all day long? Can we be happy about that? Can we look for something to be happy about instead of looking for something to be right about? Ugh, there comes a time you just have to compromise. Yes, sometimes you have to bite that hole in your tongue. You have to seek the resolution. They're like, okay, you know what? I'm just not even cool. All right, fine. You know what? Okay, great. And it's not that you're agreeing with the person. It's not that you're allowing the problem to persist. You set up your boundaries, and you got to find ways to make the relationship work within these boundaries. Now, do you want to be right all the time? In your mind, you could think that you're right 137% of the time. Cool, I'm right. But if you're right, that makes the other person wrong. Who wants to be in a relationship or situation constantly where they're always wrong? You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. You're thinking too hard, you're wrong. We don't pay you to think because you're wrong. You're not going to get it right. You're wrong. What does that say to someone that you love, that you are constantly willing to throw stuff in their face, that you are constantly willing to remind them that, you know, there's another way to thinking and you're wrong? Sometimes it's more than one way to look at things, and it's not about right or wrong. It's just a difference of opinion. Oh, so we see things differently. Just like at an accident scene, you got 6 eyewitnesses, you got 6 different things going on based upon perception, based upon a whole lot of things. And when you're in any sort of relationship, you bring all of that to the table. And so, hey, it's not just that you see it as, wow, this is just as clear as day. This is beautiful. Great. You may see it that way because you have glasses on and the person you're with doesn't have glasses on. So everything's blurry to them. And so do you want to be right? I'm right. Or do you want to be happy? And happy relationships are long-lasting relationships. The person that always has to be right usually does not have too much happiness in their personal relationships. It's a choice to expand your mind. It's a choice to be willing to see things differently. It's a choice that matters and will make all the difference in the world. We are two people who see things totally differently, but yet we find ways to make it work. Look at that. So therefore, both people feel validated and the relationship can go on and grow and flourish. But if you're constantly at that, I have to be right, or I'm always right, or whatever, you're not going to trade your happiness for that. And it's really not worth it. Take it from me, personal experience. I enjoy being right. I enjoy the fact that I will analyze the situation. If I'm quiet, I'm thinking. And if I'm thinking, let me go ahead and process it. But once I process it, I'm pretty sure that I have the right answer. And so if I speak because I feel that I'm correct on the situation. If I'm quiet, I'm processing the situation. And then I can come back later and be like, you know what? I was wrong. Or, okay, I didn't even see it from your side. Or I didn't even try to look at this from another way. You know what? I can definitely see where you saw that in a situation. And that, darlings, has saved a lot of arguments in the Shelton household because we were willing to see things from another side. It's kind of like if you wear glasses and it's a really strong prescription, your vision, your 20/20 vision ends at the frame of the glasses. Outside that frame, your peripherals, your up, your down, all that, blurred. With the glasses, the area that you're looking directly at, clear. Now, the other person may have on contacts, so everything they see is clear. Y'all looking at the same situation, and you can say, you know, I didn't even think about the fact that it's blurry up top for you. Okay, well, maybe that's why you responded the way you did. Oh, okay, well, let me get some contacts, or maybe you can explain to me a little more so I can see things your way at all times. Please do not choose always being right. it's not worth it in the big picture because we are trying to repair, restore, and, you know, yeah, repair and restore relationships and people's feelings, make sure everyone feels validated and feels not some sort of way about their relatives, but feels like, hey, I have a place, I fit, this is my role, yada, yada, yada. Okay? Okay. Number eight, the last key, I think, is the most important one, be easy to talk to. Do not always have your defenses up. Do not always be the angry chick, the hostile dude. Take some of the passion and emotion out of everything. Everything does not have to blow up into something bigger, something just huge, something just unnecessary. Lower your guard. Yeah, sometimes you'll get bit. Yeah, sometimes it'll work against you. But be easy to talk to. Don't come into a preconceived notions. Don't bring all the baggage from, when we was growing up, you stole my Batman, and that's why I stole your Robin, and that's why we here. Okay, say that for the therapist couch. Work through that with your therapist and your counselor and your and your life coach. But when it comes to family and relationships, be easy to talk to. Don't already have your face all squinched up when they arrive at the meeting. Don't already have your face wrinkled up when you see them on your caller ID. Take a deep breath. Like, the relationship matters. This person matters. Mad at the problem. I'm not mad at the person. We have got to resolve these problems within our family, and we have to show this next generation how it's done. Because right now they're resolving conflicts in very violent ways. Who did they get that from? It just didn't appear overnight. It's something that's been brewing in our society for a long time. And so we glorify, make it all glamorous, make it all exciting, all this fighting and violence and killing and death and murder and blood. Oh, my gosh, it was great. And then when they start acting it out in real life, like, life is not a video game. Well, what you letting them play the video game for 8 hours a day for? Life is not the movies. You're not a paid actor. Okay, but you let him watch the movies. You took him to the R-rated movies. You took him to the action-packed movies. Who's teaching them this? We are. The adults are. In my house, we don't do this for this reason. And this may be a teaching moment for you to teach your cousin, your friend, your neighbor, hey, this is why we don't do this at our house, because here are the possible effects of this right here. We don't listen to this type of music because this, it's not good because it leads to this right here. It starts them thinking about that right there. Then all of a sudden they're on YouTube looking up lyrics and something else pops up. So their natural curiosity, they're following this and they're following that. And next thing you know, they're down a rabbit hole like Alice in Wonderland, Strangers in a Strange Land, and all of a sudden it becomes familiar to them because they keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. The funny thing about our children and our youth is they just want attention. They do. They want love, they want affection, they want attention. And so if the internet's giving them 500 likes and you're not giving them an hour of your time, who's really to blame? Yeah, we have to bear that responsibility of what we have done by being so soft and letting them have so much of a voice and so much of a say without any limits, without any boundaries, without explaining to them. It's not because I said so. Those days are over. This is why we don't do this. Here are some reasons why I choose not to do this behavior near, around you, or even for myself. Here's why I want to keep you isolated and sheltered and away from such and such and this and that and the other. Here's why you can't have social apps on your phone. Here is why you can't even have a cell phone. Here, you know, explain it. Have these, again, we talked about yesterday, have these family meetings to encourage the family dialogue, and the level and the amount of conflicts that you have will be decreased because there will be a sense of understanding. Now, when you continue to have conflicts, that means the family meetings may have to be a little more intense because you might have to deal with some heavy stuff like, hey, guess what? We're about to get a new family addition. And the little kid's like, we're getting a puppy? No. Your sister's having a baby. But she's still in high school. We know. Right. There may have been intense family meetings, and then that could cause some sort of family conflict. Lord knows everyone doesn't appreciate new members of the family because they know the other side of that. They know, but until there's conversation about it, there can't be understanding as to why people act the way they do. Most of the time, I would say with my family, I do try to at least try to understand their perspective on a situation. I don't have to agree. I don't have to like it. I just accept that's who you are based upon where you are from, based upon what you've done in your life. And I just ask for that same mutual respect. That's part of my boundary system. Like, hey, if I'm giving it, I need to be receiving it. And if I'm not receiving it, then I know that you're not there yet. And I can easily take 3 steps back, reassess the situation, and we'll just talk on special occasions. And that's okay with me. I am really okay with that. And that works for friends, that works for family, that works for coworkers, that works for me. Because I do not enjoy being in constant conflict. It's stressful enough being a wife, a mother, a career lady, having responsibilities. I do not need to add any additional conflict with family members to make my life any more enjoyable. So I actually try to avoid them. But certain situations cannot be avoided and must be dealt with. And so before the sun sets, that's what the Bible says, come before the sun sets, you know, try to resolve as much as you can, or just let people be who they are, where they are. And either way, I'm okay. So if we get to the point where having this conflict, it gets too heated, I think one of the keys that were not mentioned, table it to a later time. If there's too much emotion, too much passion, tears and snot and fighting and stuff being thrown, cussing and drinking, all that, that doesn't make for good conflict resolution. That only continues and just amplifies other problems. And so now we're bringing up 32 other subjects that we haven't dealt with, because why would we ever face all of that head on at one time soberly? Wow, what a theory. That's why shows like Intervention are so popular, because a lot of us wish we could have interventions with our family members. And so we're looking for keys that, oh my gosh, okay, so I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do that. Yeah, you could do that, but here's what's going to happen. How many of those shows are popular because the person says, oh my gosh, you're so right. I can kick this habit today. I'm going to rehab, yes, and stick with it. No, why did you bring this issue up? Why did you have a stranger in my house? Who are you to tell me about my life? Yada, yada, yada. And no one knows you like family. So we're going to bring up all sorts of stuff. It's a fight or flight situation. So I'm going to fight dirty to get out this situation. You're talking about my addiction. What about your mama's addiction? See, why does it have to go that way? But it does. And so if you're trying to resolve a conflict and it's going too far to the left, take a step back, take a deep breath, take an adult time out. And remember, it's not the person that we really want to attack. It's the problem. Okay? And acknowledge. Understanding that acknowledging and listening are not the same as obeying. So we do want to listen. We do want to acknowledge. But we also want to get to a place where we can follow through with that. 3, use I statements. Not we, not always, not you. I feel such and such when such and such happens. 4, give the benefit of the doubt, because you just never know. You really don't. 5, have awkward conversations in real time. Don't hold on to stuff for 32 years. You're only hurting yourself. 32 days is absolutely ridiculous. Try to handle it right then and right there, but if the kids are around, set up a time to handle it later. 6, keep the conversation going. Life is a dialogue. Maintain open lines of communication, because, again, at the end of the day, it's the relationship that's important. Ask yourself, would I rather be happy or would I rather be right? And if you constantly have to be right and it's worth more to you to be right than to have the relationship, that's some other stuff you might want to start talking to your therapist about. And there's nothing wrong with getting therapy. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I just want to make sure I put that out there. And 8, be easy to talk to. Realize that you are not 100% perfect, and what you're going through, someone else is not going through, but everybody is going through something. And so be easy to talk to. Do not be the double-edged sword all the time. Be human sometime and compassionate and have some empathy, because you never know if you were dealt the same hand in life that they were dealt with, how you would respond. I don't care if you grew up in the same house, the same neighborhood, different parents, whatever. You just never know. And sometimes all it needs is one more conversation or one more straw to break the camel's back. and we are not supposed to be breaking our neighbors, our friends, and our family members' backs. We are supposed to be supporting each other as we grow in this gift called life. Okay? All right. So I'm glad you guys tuned in today. We're going to have a wonderful weekend. These are the 8 keys to resolving family conflict. I want to make sure you guys, I'll post the link to this article on our Facebook page. But this weekend, try to resolve at least one conflict. Not all of them, just one. And watch the difference it makes to repair the relationship, because the relationship is important. I'm your host, Rev J. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. As always, may the God of peace rest, rule, and abide with you and keep you now, henceforth, and forevermore. I'll talk to you guys Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, 7 a.m. Have a good one. Bye-bye.